All right, it's Joel Radio here. Little different show for you today. We recorded this at the an event called Detroit Cares, a benefit for the Fallen and Wounded Soldiers Fund, which is a charity that our friend Bob Phillips, who's a funny comic here in Detroit, put together. And it's just all recorded with the Tascam field recorder in the lobby, a little bit in the backstage. You'll hear some of our jokes on stage as well. Just kind of a fly on the wall thing. I hope you guys like it. You'll hear me. You'll hear Corey. You'll hear old friends like Bill Bisharp, Bill Hildebrandt, Sal D'Amelio, and a bunch of new comics that you've never heard on this show before. So hope you guys like it. It's just a free form, 85 minutes of fun backstage talking shit with comedians. It was fun to do. You'll also get to hear my jokes, which my set was all right. I was worried about it, but my set went okay. So hope you guys like this. A very special episode of Joel Radio starts right now. Well, yeah, this is the podcast. Mike Green, welcome to Joel Radio. And that's now he clams up. He was
now
talking.
He was telling all kinds of great stories.
No,
the story was that I was on stage. There was a show in South Carolina, and on Saturday nights they called it a hot mess show. And you were not allowed to do any of your act. And you had to, if you were one of the comedians, you had to either get a tattoo or get tasered on stage.
Well, where was this?
In South Carolina.
Who booked that fucking thing?
It was terrible.
Oh, my God.
Well, but it was this brand new club, and they paid great. So I was like, all right.
Great to get a tattoo?
$1,800 and air.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
All right.
All right, so can you give me the number slowly? I'm going to just tell
No, because it's gone. It's defunct now. It's the Broadway Comedy Club. So anyway, okay. I got a... a tattoo of a camel on my toe. So I thought I was exempt from getting tasered. Well, I was on stage halfway through my show. A fat guy in a thong and a sombrero crawled up to the stage and tasered me on the ankle, and I dropped like a fucking box of rocks.
Jesus Christ.
Crumbled in front of the whole crowd like a bitch. Crumbled.
Well, that's...
Wow.
The moral of the story... $1,800 in air might not be worth it.
I would take the tasering, I think.
And the tattoo?
Because the tattoo,
depends.
You're going to regret.
I don't. I have a little camel on my toe. It's adorable.
But then you have to remember that horrible goddamn gig. Remember when you look at that toe.
It wasn't horrible, though. You know? It was kind of fun. Like, it was fun.
Well, tonight that's not happening, I don't think,
no,
right?
No,
that's
not any tattoos or tasers.
It's a cattle prod or a dildo.
That's right.
You gotta take a...
Well, the veterans are here, so they're going to bayonet us or something.
It's a red, white, and blue dildo. Yeah.
Take a rifle butt to the face if you're not funny tonight on this show.
The hardest part of this entire show will be seeing if anybody can stick to their time.
We're two in, and I know that one of them has blown their time already.
Yeah, and it was probably the guy running it, right?
It was the guy running it, Bob, yeah. So, this is... let's put it over... you want to go 950 over under. What do we say?
Oh, okay. So I'm saying over.
Over 950.
Well over.
Show should be over at 9:30 for those of you listening at home.
Yeah, I'm going to go 10 o'clock. I think the show ends at 10. Since I'm going on last, I think I can probably make it.
Oh, you. Well, I'm fourth from the
second.
You're second.
McPeak's last.
But Kevin's not brief. Kevin's not going to wrap it up.
Kevin's going to do his five. He knows his time.
Please. Kevin hasn't done five fucking. Kevin says his name. He does. Oh, hey, Kevin. It's Kevin over there. Kevin.
Kevin,
come here. Come here. We need you, Kevin. He's not coming over.
Oh, if he had his video camera out, he'd fucking...
Oh, yeah.
Get over here!
Yeah, I know. But then I do this, and he can't talk to me. He's big-timing us right now.
Can we have a new rule of no blended drinks at a comedy club?
Well...
Can we not have the blender with the ice machine?
Dude, blended drinks have been a part of comedy. It's forever. It's a part of it. We were just talking about you. Are you going to do your time?
Yeah, we're talking... Kevin McPeak's here, and he's closing the show tonight.
I'm doing...
Now, we just started.
Time.
We just started. We have an over-under on the time. The guess for me, and that's not when I think it's going to end, but the over-under for betting purposes, 9:50 p.m.
9:50.
So that would be a 20-minute overrun. Yes or no? We're going to beat that or come
gonna
in
beat
after?
It. I'm going to be the one that's going to get us there.
That's what I said.
You're going to beat it. So that means you have to do short time.
I'll bet by the time I walk on stage, it's 9:45. That's what I think.
Kevin, tell us what your opinion.
It'll be 10 o'clock when I'm done.
Okay, so Kevin is...
The under's a sucker bet. I would never.
When I go up.
Take that money.
Right.
No matter when I go up, it'll be 10 when I'm done.
Sucker bet.
You know, we might have to get the taser out just to end the show
You're
on
right.
time.
Maybe that's it.
And you know what? If we wanted a taser, I'm sure we could get one from the people assembled in there.
I genuinely thought that recorder was a taser.
No, it's only a recorder.
We should do a show where we just have everybody's worst gigs. And, yeah. You know, just.
Well, that we could do that as a theme for tonight, if you'd like.
I have way worse gigs than that.
Worse gigs than getting tasered?
Way worse. Yeah, I mean, I've had the most demoralizing shows. I mean, some lady make me say that I had to write her a letter to apologize for not being funny.
Oh, wow.
I had to write her a letter, and the agency that booked me for it held me to it. They're like, you got to write this, or she's not paying us
actually,
or you.
I've heard that from somebody else, too. About, like, they had a function, and then the comic they didn't like, and he had to apologize.
The letter I wrote essentially said, I apologized a lot for them not enjoying my show, but I did not admit, I did not say that I was not funny. I refused to say I wasn't funny.
No, you'd never do that. Never.
Funny. I don't give a
right.
shit. It was a bad situation.
Mike has been doing, for the listener, Mike has been doing comedy since the Reagan administration.
Yeah.
So this is a professional. This guy has got it down. He knows it. So screw that lady.
But what it was,
screw
I'll tell you what it was. They were eating dinner. They were on round tables. Half the audience was dividing their attention between their plate and me. And the other half weren't even turning around to look at me. Well, and so I started ridiculing them a little bit. I started making fun of them. I go, yeah, this comedy's not funny when you're not listening. Like,
that's
stuff
what
like
I
that.
Call not a show, but a hostage situation.
It was.
Where I did a show about a year ago, and there was a 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
And they just basically bribed the people to stay.
Yeah.
And they had no desire to be in a comedy
show. They don't want to be there. They don't want to be there, right?
Like, let's celebrate Jerry and Sylvia's 50 years of wedded.
I did a restaurant gig with a guy, open for him, and it was a 50th high school reunion.
Oh, yeah.
So imagine that those people are...
It's not even your high school.
Right,
that's
it was a 50th high school. So these people, you know, they're all 68 years old because of that. And boy, what a fun group that was.
Well, worse than that, I've been approached by my own high school repeatedly to do mine. And I'm like,
you know,
no.
Well, yeah.
I go, how bad would that be? Wouldn't that be horrible as a comic?
But you don't think they'd get a kick out of, oh, look what Mike became, and he's so successful.
I would like to go
I don't want to risk it.
Yeah, I know.
What if it sucks?
Yeah.
You know?
I would like to go and do career counseling at my high school and just tell them not to do comedy.
I get that.
Would you go do the senior all-night party at your high school?
No. Because Lord knows what kind of trouble I'd get in at that.
Is there a hypnotist on the bill tonight? We could get one of those
guys. I think it was my high school, my senior all-night party. Yeah. I think there was a magician and a comedian.
Yeah.
I know there was a magician. Oh, there was a hypnotist and a comedian,
I think. I'd love to know who the comedian was.
I couldn't remember because I think I was interested in the comedian.
It was Bill
He's sitting right over there.
My favorite story in the entire world is Bill's story about when you were corporate, doing something, corporate job, and they hired a comedian, right?
All right, we gotta get Bill in.
You gotta have Bill tell this story.
So
Bill Hildebrandt, you guys remember Bill from the show.
Mike, thanks for remembering this story. Because I remember telling it to you, because, you know, when I had a corporate job and I was making all this money, we were all very snooty, you know.
Yep.
And me and my boss, we'd see people doing menial jobs as we're driving around doing shit. You know, this guy's a multimillionaire, you know, but I was doing pretty good at the time, but I was nowhere near that. But we'd see some guy, you know, struggling at doing something. Like, we'd go into a little restaurant, and the guy's barely making it, you know, and we'd say, man, I'm glad I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
And we had a habit of doing that. And so...
You had a habit.
Yeah, shut the fuck up, Gordon. So anyway, we went to a show. It was a golf outing, and they had this comic there, and I think his name was Jackie Rapp. He was from here, right? He's an old guy.
I remember the name, but
and
I never met him.
Nobody was paying any attention to this guy, and they weren't even seated. They're all kind of standing, and he's just standing in the middle of the room, and you couldn't hear the PA, you know. And I turned to my boss, and it was one of those moments. I said, man, you know, I never want to be that guy, you know? You know how many times I've been that guy?
Oh. 10 years later, I'm standing in a room, and I look out, and I see all these people in the audience.
Well, my worst gig, and I've told it on this show, was the Home Depot Christmas party. Now, to this point, I believe I have never said the name of the guy who brought me to the Home Depot Christmas party. So if there's someone here that wants to fess up for being the headliner in this room that wants to say...
Me? I did the Home Depot Christmas party. Was it you?
No, it wasn't me and you, but it was...
I did it. I did it a couple times.
Did you do it? I did it
here, though.
Oh, I did it in Flint in the Home Depot.
So it was Brian McCree.
No, it wasn't. It was in the lumber aisle of the Home Depot.
Oh, they had the party in the fucking store.
Was it you?
I was the guy.
Finally, we've revealed. It was Bill Hildebrandt.
And, of course, what you've got is you've got the longest, skinniest room on the face of the planet, right, Mike. And you know those are a nightmare.
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to get your arms around
those.
We're
the worst on a school bus. School bus-shaped rooms don't work. Back.
And they had one little
sound
speaker.
Bouncing off shovels.
The sound didn't go anywhere. The sound went into the first table and died.
And it was like a podium mic setup.
Right.
Like
it was horrible.
Imagine you're trying to fill a Home Depot with a little fucking speaker.
And some guy's forklift and stuff.
Oh, God.
Did you do the show over the intercom?
We did not do it. But employees could
do it. Probably would have been better.
Well, you did that. Did you do Mount Pleasant? Did you ever do the Soaring Eagle?
No.
It was in the middle of the casino?
No.
Anybody do that?
Oh.
They did a show in the middle of the casino. Middle of the... There'd be announcements overhead.
Hey, was it a bar in the middle of the casino, or was it just the middle of the casino?
It was a stage.
Okay.
And a dance floor. And they put chairs on the dance floor. And there were slot machines going up everywhere. It was absolutely terrible.
Escanaba was like that. It was the bar. It was the slot machine.
And they gave us a microphone. And the microphone was loud. Yeah. So that everybody in the entire casino could hear you if you spoke clearly enough. So I kept saying, hey, if you find the Hex Breaker machine, we're giving away $1,000. And the security came over and told me, you got to stop doing that. And I go, well, don't give a fucking comedian a microphone in the middle of a casino. I told him, get to the Hex Breaker machine. They're giving away $1,000. People are running across the casino.
There's nothing like watching old ladies waste their retirement checks while you're bombing. And just pulling the lever.
And they would make announcements overhead, whatever.
They're losing. They said, well, I could be doing that.
That's Rich Higginbottom, by the way. How you doing, Rich? It's been a while since I've seen you. Do you remember me at all?
Your first name is?
Joel Fragamenti.
Oh, yeah, Joel.
We did like Joey's.
You just went to the... With
Channel 20, yesterday morning.
But also you were out at Bruce Springsteen with...
With Jim McClane.
Yeah, so what was that restaurant you guys went to beforehand? Because it looked pretty good, like these hot dogs or something.
No, that was Jim's thing. Jim has a fetish for this place called the Imperial Inferno.
Right.
Okay. So I told Jim, I went to Bruce Springsteen. I don't want to turn this into the Bruce Springsteen podcast. Because Corey'll slit his fucking throat over here. But it's right near my house.
Okay.
So I told Jim, I said, we're going to go to Springsteen. We're going to get wristbands to get in the general admission part. And then we'll have time for dinner. Well, he didn't want to wait for that dinner. So he went to the hot dog place down the street from me, the Imperial, without telling me. So I'm waiting for him to show up, and he's two blocks away eating hot dogs. And I'm like, all right, Jim, when are we going? So anyway, we ended up going. But, yeah, it's the Imperial Inferno.
Okay,
so go there. Go check that out.
I definitely want to try
But, Rich, you were known in comedy as the MC.
I was.
That was always the MC. Because I think you probably, I was the feature, you're the MC. And I remember, and I was probably 3-4 years in, and I'm like, what's this, like, no offense, old guy doing? You know, like, I was the rookie, and you had this smooth, like, polished, because usually the MC is, like, the shittiest guy. And I show up, and, like, you're way better than me, and I'm like, why the fuck is this guy the MC? What was your thinking in, like, always MCing?
Because I could work 42 weeks a year.
That's not... And young comics, if you're listening to this...
A wise man.
What's funny, you know, I tell that. I teach one of the comedy classes here, and guys always say, I don't want to be the MC. I just want to be the feature. And I'm like, no, you're going to get so many opportunities hosting shows and doing that.
Right.
And you're going to open for all these famous guys who will help you later if you're lucky and stuff. So that's good to hear you say that.
Well, you can attest to that, too, Bill, out in Vegas. I mean,
I could, but, you know, he won't let me.
Well, we've heard your stories on this show.
I've been teaching comedy for ages, and you think they'd have me come in and say a few words?
You were invited.
We don't need this old hack to come in.
I said, Bill, do you want to come in and help teach the comedy class? Oh, I'm going to be working a boat in Hawaii that week. I can't make it in, so don't let me ruin your tale of woe.
I stand corrected.
Yeah, you're going to make $3,000 on that fucking boat while I'm in here in the middle of a Saturday afternoon on a sunny day teaching kids how to look for the light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially around here talking to guys who say, I'd like to learn how to be funny.
What was it? Did you have some?
Was that directed at anyone in particular?
To be funny. I want to get out of the gas station business.
Well, you get those guys too.
Yeah,
they're entitled to bomb just like the rest of us.
Are.
So
no, don't put it that way.
Yeah.
Don't say bomb.
Don't say bomb.
You'll have the FBI all over you.
Well,
they got a filter on this shit. You know, picks up certain words.
Yeah. Well, I need the listeners, please. If you're the FBI, please monitor the show weekly and press release that what
and
we're talking about.
And to another guy.
Exactly.
And talk about old farts that have been in the, in the business.
Oh, my God, Jeff Brannan. Holy shit. We couldn't have planned this any better, could we? Jeff Brannan, what's going on, buddy?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm recording for the podcast. I know you've been on, so you're...
Oh, I thought you just wanted your mic and mic stand.
How long have you had my mic and mic stand?
Geez, about a year and a half.
Yeah,
now.
I know. I used it
since the last podcast. If you wondered why I haven't been doing any of these.
Yeah. Is it being used for good, though? Is it being used for good?
Well, what I'm doing is I'm miking all the transgender bathrooms now to hear what actually is happening in there so we can get an accurate account.
I've heard that wherever Bruce Springsteen won't play, you're willing to go in and do the show.
Have you seen the stuff that Bruce has turned down?
Well, it's good to see Jeff Brannan, and he does have my mic and mic stand, but I'm okay with it. I'll take it back whenever you want to bring it, but, you know, if you're gigging with it. It was good stuff, right? It's a sure and it's nice stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. It got a lot of money at the pawn shop.
Wasn't worth that much. Well, say hi to Bill. I'm not going to ruin your good time.
Rich, how are you?
And Rich.
Good to see you.
I'll go talk to Russ Brown. It's all right. You guys chat. Russ Brown, what's up, dude?
Yes, sir.
Come talk to me, my friend.
Oh, how are you?
It's been forever since you've been on the podcast,
dude.
It has
been a while. The last time I was on, I was literally in Iraq.
You were in Iraq?
I was a war correspondent in 2009.
Yeah, that's amazing. So,
and then now you called me to the microphone because I was standing here and you felt obligated.
Well, I want to talk to everybody that's on the show if I can.
Yeah, otherwise,
have you been on yet or no?
Yeah, I just went on.
Oh, how was it?
It was awful.
No, I don't know.
It was good. It was really, really good. It was just one of those things where it's like you start to do the show and then you have to go, okay, you have 5 minutes.
Yeah, because that's what I feel like all of the having the comics come on so quickly, like it's going to burn the audience out. That's what I'm afraid. If I'm on late.
I don't know.
I somehow got a good billing.
Did you really?
Did you see the elite that I'm in with?
There are some murderers.
But I'm also
if this building catches fire, there won't be an Econolodge with a comedy show for a month.
I'm afraid that I'm like the buffer between two good comedians. I'm between Sal and Brian McCree, and I think it's like I'm the bathroom break. That's kind of what I feel like my billing is tonight.
I was in between Julie Lyons and David Van Otis.
Okay.
And I asked David, I said, what do you want me to give for your intro? And he's like, nothing. Just call me. And I was like, well, I got to say something. And he was like, what do you want me to say? So he's a really big guy. So
he's
he's the biggest performer on the show tonight. Like,
David Otis?
I don't know what to say.
Well,
I didn't see Kevin McPeak. Yes.
Kevin McPeak's
there. Sorry, David Van Otis.
Yeah, well, he'll...
sorry. Kevin McPeak just walked in front of us. I love Kevin McPeak.
We did. We talked to Kevin a minute ago on the show. Good, good. Well, it's good to see you.
These guys I haven't seen in a long
time. And you are remarried now? And
remarried
now. Whole new life.
I'm happily married, which is not like the first one.
The first time, yeah.
It's not like the first one at all.
Because I met you as the house husband.
Yes, I was
and
a desperate house guy.
And then you went through the civilian contractor in Iraq.
Right.
Then you were divorcee.
Yep.
Living in some apartment somewhere. And now you got the new wife and all that.
I'm super
living
happy
the dream.
Now. Living the dream.
Good for you, brother.
So, yeah.
Good for
good
you.
Times. We'll clink.
I'm still. Let's toast our free beers.
Yeah.
Courtesy of Bob Phillips.
Thank you. But, yeah.
We got to get Bob out here. Is he back there?
He's back there. Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to interview him because, you know, he organized the damn thing. And then he won't.
He killed. He went up great.
I know.
In the beginning and killed. I was like, God damn it.
Do you want to take a guess? We have I've given an over-under at 9:50 p.m. for the show to end. Oh. Everyone says I'm under.
I'm under. There's 17 comics.
But we're all supposed to do five. And if you did the math.
Oh, yeah, but they're not going to do
9:30.
I did like five and a half, and I felt like such a shit. I was like, I can't do one thing right.
You're not known for being
on time.
Succinct.
Punctual.
Well, yeah, well, those things too. But, you know, you're not known for being brief.
I'm more of a story comic.
Yeah, you are. You talk. You talk a lot.
And by that, I mean not funny. There's a story as to how I'm still doing comedy.
Well, I've got to stay sober for another hour. And what time is it? I don't even know what the clock is.
The wings are down.
Wings are down. So yeah, I got to stay sober for my big spot.
Well, I should have.
And there's extra pressure because I work here at the Comedy Castle on the staff.
Oh, yeah.
And if I look foolish,
shit,
you know,
in front of your family.
Can't do that. So, well, here's David. Let's talk to him. Now, David, how you doing, David?
Good.
Yeah, I know you just got off stage. This is for Joel Radio. Hope you're okay with that.
That's fine.
If you're not, it's too late. Russ says he brings you up, and you don't want an introduction. Why is that?
I don't have one.
Well, you got something. You can always make
my only introduction is the fact that I own another club. You don't go into another club and talking about
owning
another club.
Ooh, that's interesting. I didn't think of that angle.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you talk about your club on this show. So tell everybody where your club is and everything. And
well, I own a little club in Novi called Laughtrax Comedy Club that focuses mainly on promoting and developing Detroit comedy.
Good. Yes. And I played there many, many times.
Yes.
And I think I did okay once or twice.
Especially but when you bring your classes down.
I do bring my classes down. Last show we did with my class, I think we had no audience. And we talked to each other. That's not good. We need an audience.
Well, it's called an open mic, Joel. That's what's going to happen.
It's got to be open to the audience, though. Otherwise, you can just close that mic just as easily. But no, go to Laugh Tracks. It's in Novi. It's great, David. I mean, it's one of those things that we always go... Laugh Track should be doing better. It's such a nice room. Because you go to some of these rooms, and they're shit. We were just talking to Mike Green about the shitty clubs we play. And then you have a place like Laugh Tracks, which is great. And then we need some people in there. So let's go.
I consider Laugh Tracks kind of like Narnia. The strip mall the strip mall and bar that it's in is just, like, desolate.
Yeah.
And you go through these two doors, and it's like, oh, my God, it's a beautiful comedy room.
Exactly. So, all right. Well, how was your set tonight, David?
I think I did okay.
Good. It's 5 minutes. Did you run over?
No,
right on time. You hit it.
I planned a tight 3:30 for tonight.
Is somebody running a light back there or no?
Bob is.
Oh, Bob's supposed to be talking to me. Maybe you can go run the light and I'll talk to Bob.
Is it a union job?
Well, you run the comedy club. You're in charge of that. Who the hell's on stage now?
That is Bill Bouchard doing his bong joke.
Oh, okay. Jesus Christ, that was loud. We got to get Bill on too. So, all right. Well, thanks for talking to me, David, and
thanks
it's good,
me,
and I'm glad you could be on the podcast. Everyone's where's Russ going? All right. Well, I've got to talk to some more people. Maybe I'll go back and talk to Brandon. But, yeah, this event here, we've got, I'd say, close to 200 people in the room, I would say, if I had to estimate. We can hear a little Bill Bouchard here if I get close. I don't want to give away his whole set, but I'm going to just pop in for a second. Here's some Bill Bouchard comedy.
I take bottles back to get here. Never have to take the bottles back for gas money. It's fucking humiliating. I'm a grown man. Gotta realize a bottle return at Meijer is nothing more than a poor man's ATM. Never try to pay for a lap dance with a bag full of Faygo returnable syrup.
Oops, sorry.
Just make the dance stickier. When she bends over, do not put it in there. That is not for deposit. Got it halfway in the alarm, and apparently I put it in backwards. It was a 2-liter.
It's recording.
Was that Henry VIII tripping on that shithole? Place looks like a battered women's shelter. My dancer's name was Black Eyed Susan. Thought she had a turkey tattoo on her thigh. Turns out it was a handprint. She drew a beak on the thumb. She was old. I like my strippers old. I like them old. I like them so old. When you get down on the G string, they all bingo. I can so old you can tip them with oatmeal. That's how old. I like them so old when they spread their legs. It sounds like you're opening an ironing board. Ladies, you know you're getting old when you snatch these WD-40. You guys have a great night.
Well, there's Bill Bouchard killing here at the Comedy Castle, so hope you enjoyed a few minutes of Bill. I don't think you'll mind me using this tape, but maybe we'll do a world exclusive here. He usually wouldn't let me do this, but since you're here, why don't we talk to Mrs. Hildebrandt here?
Who's this?
Denise.
Hi. Hello.
Who is this? For Joel Radio.
Joel Radio.
My podcast.
Oh, my God.
Bill's been a frequent guest.
Oh, well, hi, Joel Radio. And what did you do to your hair?
Did you like it?
No.
Okay. Well, you know, I think you would appreciate a man with hair after being with Bill for as long as
here comes Corey. Let me hide.
Okay. Corey's not going to hurt you. Corey's not going to
hurt you. No, I'm afraid it might hurt him.
Well, let's not have that. Okay. So, well, it's good
nice
to see
tonight.
You. Do you have to say anything about Bill to my audience? Because they love Bill's stories.
Bill's stories.
From the boat.
Bill's stories from the boat. Let's see.
Whatever. He's got lots of stories.
He's always complaining about the buffet, that it's the same old stuff.
Yes.
You know.
You can swear, please do.
And I'm like, oh, please tell me how many shrimps can you eat? You know? Does that really make you sick, all that
exactly.
crabbling and everything? So,
all right.
Yeah. This is the
original.
Adios.
Adios. Thank you, Denise. We just heard Bouchard out here. Because they heard a little bit of Bouchard out there. So we're going to talk to Bill Bouchard. Bob Phillips is out here, who's the organizer. Let's see who we can get. Bill? All right. Fresh from the stage. We've got fresh from the stage, Bill Bouchard. Fresh from the stage.
You are?
Joel Radio.
Oh, Joel, I remember you.
Yeah, you remember me? Bill Bouchard's here. I got a little bit on the... I hope you don't mind a little bit going on the show.
Okay.
A couple minutes.
Okay.
A couple minutes.
For the rest of us.
Yeah, I know. It's a couple... Yeah, you fucking crushed it.
I got the sweet spot. What do you want? Number six is the best spot.
That is a good spot. That is a good spot. I have a less good spot, but it's challenging when you're in these 50 guys.
Yeah, it is.
Like, how many gay Navy jokes are going to be told by the time I hit the stage? How many?
At least one.
Hold on. I haven't heard one yet.
I don't know.
The Navy I'm going to throw one out there.
The Navy's supposed to be homos,
aren't
they?
Gays in the Navy still.
I thought there were gay guys in the Navy. I don't know. But anyway.
Well, if you were going to enlist, it's too late now.
Well, I thought people could make fun of the Navy. Maybe you can't here. I don't know.
I wouldn't advise it.
Is this going on the show?
Yeah, of course it is. Why not?
Is it taking pictures, too?
And no, it doesn't. It does none of those things.
I am not sure how that works.
It's just radio. It's just audio. We did TV yesterday, though, me and Bill. I'll put a link to that on the show description. We were on the Channel 20 morning show.
I didn't know they were getting a two-shot on Channel 7. That one shot, and I'm doing this with my lips. Looks like I want to eat you.
Did you notice they moved Alicia Smith away from me before they started the segment?
Yeah, they knew.
The stage hand came over and goes like, let's move you like a foot away from Joel. And I was like, okay, because, you know, let's face it. I mean, it's probably to protect me.
Hold on. She didn't want to run for me. I did the show the week before.
Yeah. Corey was on there. I'll put a link to Corey, too. Why not? Sal D'Amelio's here. Sal, say hi to everybody.
Hey, what's going on?
Joel's
Comedy Cast, our podcast.
Joel Radio, that's fine.
Hi.
Is this on? But yeah, Sal's on. You haven't been on yet.
I think that's just what you think of Joel right there in the equipment he would buy.
It's a professional thing.
I've been
this
in his really, bedroom for shows. That's
yeah, exactly.
It.
That's it.
Only for shows.
I've been doing the podcast for over 11 years now, and it's evolved.
Now it's the same bullshit we were calling.
It's evolved.
I want to go back in time and look at all the bets that I've made on your show.
Bets?
I'm probably about 70% on your show.
Sal used to be our football odds maker.
Yes.
Yeah, we got to bring that back. We always say we want to bring it back.
Give me the Greek, Sal the Italian.
Bill was on like the 12th show we ever did, and we used a vaporizer.
Yeah, that's the way
I was on a Death Pool show once, too, and I didn't.
The Death Pool?
I didn't do it well.
Who was on the show when we tried all the... The trade winds, turkey, gravy, and all
that. Was that you?
Was that you?
Those were the days.
I remember that show. That was funny.
We drank Jones Soda and had a good time. So you can get all those shows on the archive. Go to joelradio.net.
Steve Lind is the first time.
Go back to Steve Lind. Talking business.
Oh, there you go.
Steve Lind. Come here, buddy. This is Steve Lind, everybody. And I got to talk to Bob Phillips. Stay here, Bob.
Hey, how's it going?
Steve Lind, say hi to everybody at home.
Hi.
Steve's a great comedian. He works clean, which we all hate Steve because he gets good gigs that I can't get.
Me too.
Because he works clean.
Me too.
Bob Phillips, organizer of this event tonight.
Thanks for having me, Joel. And by the way, thanks for doing all the cool shit you did.
Thank you. Yeah.
The TV.
Yeah.
The offstage. The rounding. Really.
Thank
very
you
much
very much. Well, I will always help you out. You're a good friend
and
a funny comic.
Same here. I appreciate
that whole thing. So tell everybody a little bit more about the event here.
Okay, so this is we've got 17 awesome Detroit comics, the best of the best, coming here. Bill Bouchard staring me down. It's a laser focus.
It is. He's right there.
I don't know if I can. I'm withering under his gaze here. He just had the set of the night.
Yeah, he did.
He really did.
He crushed it. Thank God.
And so 17 comics.
Put him on last from now on.
Yeah, I probably should.
Yeah, fuck that. No one can follow that.
Yeah, you're right. But so 17 comics all coming out and doing 5 minutes in support of our troops. And we've got a couple hundred people here tonight,
yep.
So we're going to make a ton of money.
Great.
Everybody did this for free. I'm so thankful
You're
that
welcome,
great friends like you and Sally came out here. Sal D'Amelio's here.
Yes.
And I just want to say thank you to everybody who's been on the bill and everybody who had a hand in this, because it's a direct payback to the troops. Everything that happened tonight is money in the pockets of people who need it. So thanks.
Well, that's fantastic. That's awesome. Great. Now, we're running a bet here. It's a long thing we've done on the show since we started here. Over, under on when this fucking show ends. Because no one's sticking to time. You did about 15 minutes, and it's your event. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
I did 9 minutes and 30 seconds.
Okay, I threw out 9.50 as a number. Are we going above or below that?
9.50? I think we're in the second tier already. We're getting close.
Are
well,
we really?
Everybody, but one person has done 5 or less.
Oh.
So
would that be Russ Brown?
No, Russ did 5 in 15 seconds, which is acceptable.
Oh.
And we laugh at the end there. So, I'm guessing I'm going to go 8. No, wait a minute. I'm going to go 9.40.
9.40. Okay, that's a reasonable number.
Good guess. Good
that's
guess.
A reasonable number. Okay.
It's going to go until 9.40.
Yeah. I have the over-under is 9.50, so that's what we're working with. For the show to end. The show will end at 9.50 or... Well, he's our closer. We'll find out.
He can't.
He can.
He's going to... Anybody wants to win the bet, let me know.
He has too much control, McPeak does. Julie, you want to come in here? Come here, Julie. Hi, Julie Lyons.
Hi.
You're on Joel Radio.
Oh, hi, Joel Radio.
How you doing?
Nice to meet you. Oh, I'm fantastic.
And you've been on already, right?
I've already been on. I killed. That was the best one.
Good. Well, no one will know the difference, so please admit that. We heard a little bit of Bill Bouchard. He was doing quite well.
Bill was doing great. He
killed. Is the audience good? They're
going to
be good?
They're fantastic. They're really fun. Yeah, you guys will do great. So,
I hope
yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's getting better. Each comic is better and better.
But I think I'm going to be pretty drunk because Bob is picking up the bar tab tonight.
Me too. I never drink this much, but thanks, Bob.
Yeah, thanks, Bob, for the drinks. We gotta thank him for that.
I know I am. I'm just drinking like crazy. I don't usually even drink, so this is great. Will he pay my Uber bill too?
No, I don't know if that's the case. Keep talking to him.
Damn, I better stop.
You got to negotiate for these things. You got to negotiate.
I looked at my contract a little
better. If he does it again, then you get the Uber thrown in, whatever you want.
There we go.
Wardrobe, whatever.
Maybe
we have some catering.
I know the wardrobe thing is kind of funny. It's Bob and me and Dave Bell. That seems to be about it. So.
Oh, as far as dressing those? Yeah. I have a suit code hanging up back there.
Oh, okay.
I'm not in it yet, but I'm going to, you know.
Right.
I don't want to give away the look before I hit the stage.
Well, the majority is, I think, not to dress nice. So I don't know. I feel
okay, here's a true story from me.
Okay.
I was talking about how I did the TV yesterday. I did the Channel 20 Sports.
Yes,
and if you saw the piece, and you can see it, but I'll just tell the backstory on it. I said pull some stuff from YouTube of me. They want B-roll to cut away to something, you know.
Yeah.
And they shot. I did a show at the Palace of Auburn Hills in 2009, and I wanted to dress nice at that as well. So I, in the footage, I was wearing the exact same outfit I was wearing yesterday.
That's your show clothes.
Yeah, and I was like, "Oops, I think that's the same jacket I'm wearing."
Oh my
today.
God, but it still fits seven years later. That's really good. I don't have
So
that.
I was like, "Yeah."
The only thing that fits me 7 years later are my shoes.
Okay, well that's fine. But it was a little embarrassing for me. But I called myself out on it.
There you know.
There I'm a comic. I don't have any money.
Well,
I can't afford
anything. We're starving artists. When I die, my shit's going to be really valuable. My kids and grandkids have it made.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's good. So Julie's Julie's all over.
Yes, I'm all done. I'm a has-been. I'm a has-been now.
We're
so.
Being told to be quiet. The boss.
Okay.
Mary's out here.
I will do whatever she says.
We should. She actually is my boss,
yeah, she though. Is, I know, so.
In addition to tonight.
Exactly.
Is that your drink? Are you drinking
no,
that?
No, I'm done. I don't know
what that is. Oh, I don't know. Somebody left a full thing over here. All right. Well, let's be quiet. Let's talk to Dave Bell. Let's talk to Dave Bell. I think Dave's not talking comedy. We're just going to listen in. You go ahead. You say what you're going to say.
So,
go ahead. Shit talk your boss some more. Go ahead, Dave. No, we heard it. Okay. Tell us about all the corruption in the city of Detroit, Dave. Go ahead.
No corruption anymore.
None anymore.
We've got all the corrupt people
Dave has cleaned it up completely.
Ran them all out of town.
Now listen.
Single-handedly. By my damn self. Yeah.
But say hi to everybody. Dave Bell.
Hey, how's everybody doing out in podcast land? You're doing a great job, man.
Thank you. You know, Dave, you were, here's a piece of trivia about me
here we go.
That involves Dave Bell. Dave and I did a show back in 1999, it would have been.
Okay.
It was someplace in Taylor that Kevin Zioli put together. It was the first time I ever got paid to do comedy.
Wow.
And you were on that bill. I think we all got 10 bucks or something. But I remember you being on that show.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah. It was a good time back then,
back
man.
In the day. There was like 15 of us. Wow. And all guys, a lot of them, that, as far as I can remember, are working, you know, because it was like P.J. Butland and Rob Little and me and you. And I think Corey Hall was there. And, it was all guys all those years ago.
Well, you know what? I miss those times, man.
Yeah,
I don't do it as much as I'd like to. But I miss those times.
Well, back then, you know, you hang out with all your buddies, you know, and that's when you're starting out. All your buddies. Tonight, everybody's here because it's this event, right?
Right.
But usually you're on the road and there's like you and one other guy, and if you don't like that guy, well, then fuck it, you know? But you just, sometimes you just go out, you know, sometimes you go out on the road with the guy, but I never usually did. Usually I went on the road with Brandon because I would drive him because Brandon would be drunk. So I would drive.
How are you getting everybody to talk into what is obviously a reconverted stun gun?
You're the second one to make the stun gun joke tonight. Oh, but I would drive Brandon because he'd be drunk, but otherwise I'd be on the road by myself usually and just meet the other guy somewhere. And it was not, it's not as much fun as when you start. That's why guys quit, I think. You know, guys get into it, and then they realize, it's lonely. It's, you know, you go out, you do an open mic with 10 of your buddies, and then they pay you $50 to go somewhere, and you're by yourself driving through the snow in the middle of the night in the thumb somewhere. Yeah, and it's like, fuck this. That's no fun. So this is more fun.
It is, especially this, like a high school reunion tonight, man. It's,
exactly.
It's so good to see everybody that we haven't seen in 7 to 10 years, man. We got Bill, we got Jeff, we got Sal, I haven't seen in years, man.
Yeah,
it's cool.
It
I'm enjoying myself.
Well, very good, Dave. Well, thanks for talking to me.
Not a problem, man.
And,
wish you the best.
Yes. Do you have a bet on when the show ends? 9:50 is what my stupid estimate, which is apparently the lowest.
No. I'm figuring somewhere between 10 and 10:30.
Have you listened to any playback yet?
Oh, no. There's no playback.
Don't worry about the ambience in
the
room.
It's going to sound like, well, I'm going to clean it up.
Okay.
I'll clean it up. I can clean things up. Yeah. These mics are good. I mean, they're sensitive, but with my secret, tell me this, you're a recording engineer.
That's right.
You record lower, you can always bring it up and you won't get some of the nonsense, right? Does that work that way?
Yeah, sort of.
If you record too high to try to get everything, then when you amplify it, you're going to blow up the background.
All right. Since I am an engineer, okay.
Limiting compression.
Yeah. Then basically, you've got no idea what you're talking about.
Hey, I've done a show for 11 years.
Yeah, but
my show sounds good when you listen to it.
No. Remember, we were talking about Billy Ray Bauer?
Yeah. Oh, there he is. Billy Ray is here.
Now the show is going to last till Friday. nobody's going home.
Yeah.
The show that did not end.
I think we just have to keep Billy talking out here and not on stage, and we'll all be fine. But, yeah, Billy's coming up. Billy's been on the show. He's been on the podcast as well. You know, there's Billy Ray. He's coming up here. But we'll just let Billy in. You can't...
This is bullshit. I've been telling everybody I'm Billy Ray Bauer.
Billy Ray, what's going on?
I don't know.
I'm on Joel Radio, so just don't be nervous.
Oh yeah, well, you
like
know,
you're going to stop talking for a minute, but say hi to everybody.
Hi everybody, except for Hildebrand.
You bastard.
How are you, man?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm good.
Be right back, man. Go check it.
Where was it?
Well, we'll let them talk. We'll go see. Maybe we'll go see what's going on in the showroom. I've got to be getting close. I'm on, like I said, I'm on later in the show. And, you know, I'm not sure how it's going to go. Because when you do this shit, it kind of becomes a whole pissing contest, which, like, who's going to be the best? And I always hate shit like this. I'll tell you, man. When I was getting started and doing open mics and contests especially, that's what it feels like. If you're a young comedian and you're doing a contest, it's always bullshit. That's my advice right there. Don't do contests. And these sort of feel like that, even though it's all your friends and it's guys you know and it's all that stuff. It always feels like a little bit of, you know, a competition instead of entertainment. And that's what comedy should be. It should be entertainment. It shouldn't be... you know, people competing with each other to see who's funniest. But I think you even see that off stage a little bit as you're overhearing all the comics talking in the bar, guys trying to top each other. It's kind of ridiculous, but all right. Let's see. Maybe I'll go back in the showroom here. Actually, we'll take a little break here, and then we'll come back. Hopefully, maybe we'll get some of Corey, maybe, or some of Corey's set, or at least talk to him about his set. We'll come back in just 1 second. So Corey just got off stage.
Yeah.
How'd it go?
It was good.
I wanted to get some for the show, and I was too late.
They were warmed up with 14 comics in front of me. I'm sure that...
You know they're warmed up if they're laughing at Steve Lind. So anyway, hey-o. But we've got Brian McCree. Brian, what's up? Come on over here. Let's get away from the showroom. Brian McCree, one of the funniest dudes. I've been working with you since I started.
Oh, man. Gosh, and how long ago was that?
I started in 1999, okay. So 17 years now.
Yeah, you came right at the end of the boom, didn't you?
Everyone says, I know. But now it's like, that's the good old days. Comedy sucks so bad now that people know.
99 was a good old day. Back to 99.
Well, Flint had 3 clubs. Grand Rapids had 2 clubs.
Yeah,
and Toledo
the
had a bunch.
Completely
there's
out
nothing
of
now, man.
Yeah,
nothing
in
now.
Shit now. A bunch of
but it's
crap.
Grand Rapids, you're still around, man.
Oh, yeah. I manage to work, man. Yeah. I'm blessed. I'm a blessed human being.
Brian's on the road all the time. You're working all the... I see your calendar.
I am.
You're humping it all over the place.
Man, I'm trying to get a new car. 200,000 miles on the Honda. Yeah. You know, you got to hit the
road.
You
get the Honda. That's the secret.
It is the
Honda. I drove around for at least 5 years of the road in a rear-wheel drive Thunderbird.
How the fuck did you get to your
which
gigs,
that
dude?
Thing would slay like a little bit, a couple raindrops, and that thing was fishtailing all over the freeway. I drove back from Asheville, North Carolina in the rain for 14 hours once. I had to make some shit, and it was like this, you know, it was a nice ride around town.
Beautiful.
You know, Thunderbird, you know, like a late 80s Thunderbird, you know, the real long kind of, you know, chassis, two-door, nice car. Fucking suck for the road.
Not
you gotta
made
get
for
something
Michigan
good.
Winter, man.
You got to get something
didn't
good.
You almost die in Pawpaw?
Did I almost die in
Pawpaw? I mean, everybody
Pawpaw?
Did die in
Pawpaw. Oh, no, I haven't died in Pawpaw.
I've died in every city in Michigan. I drove, it was snow in Pawpaw, and I can't remember, because I think I've had about 4-5 cars since I've been doing the road.
Yeah.
But I think the Thunderbird, which was a nice ride, was probably the worst in the snow.
You know, I tell
this turned into car talk.
I know car talk. With comedians.
Don't drive like my brother. Well, this is what happens when you get comedians together. What are you driving out there? How many miles you got on your car?
Yeah, I'm at 200 plus. So yeah, I got an 04 Honda. Still running like a charm, man. But I'm just looking for the future.
I've got
a,
what model you got?
Honda Accord 2-door coupe.
Okay. I've got a
loaded. It's loaded, yo.
I've got a 2004 CRV, and that thing's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
The car is running so good, my wife's actually thinking about taking it when I get a new one.
Okay.
You know, or my trader.
Why not?
Yeah, this is the shittiest fucking podcast talk ever.
Oh, no. This is
car talk with comedians.
Like, people love inside. You know, people always want to know what to like when comedians hang out together. And this is it. We talk about our shitty gigs.
Let's ask Brian. There's been about 800 comedy fundraisers for Flint.
Yeah.
But I didn't see you doing any of them.
I did the one in Ann Arbor.
Okay, you did one. All right.
Yeah, they're doing them.
Because I feel like there might be more.
You live in Flint. You live in Flint.
Then there are pipes to fill. I don't know.
And
you
live in Flint proper?
I live actually in Flint. Every shower for me is a crying game shower. When's the last time you fucking bathed with a bottle of water?
Yeah, that's not good.
When you have to take a bath after your shower, it's a problem.
I'm still in search of the water share scent. I want that fucking extra delicious Cher water.
Yeah. No, okay.
She sent a shitload of water, and it's at some Baptist church on the north side.
Oh, is it really? Cher sent water. She's great.
It's when you need a password to find Cher's water.
I know. I'm telling you, it's at some Black Baptist church. Oh, nobody knows.
Sure, the gay guys are fighting over Cher's water up in Flint. Do you have gay guys up in Flint?
Of course, we have gay guys up in Flint. You don't fuck with these people.
I don't know where they are.
They'll pack.
Now, what do you think about Governor Snyder only drinking Flint water for 30 days? That's his new stunt.
What a fucking douchebag. Our mayor clowned him good. She's like, you need to move here for a month and see what life is like.
That sounds like a David Blaine primetime special where he only drinks Flint water for 30 days and tries to survive he's trapped in a box.
Did you get the guy
something?
From Super Size Me?
Morgan
Spurlock.
Yeah.
A little documentary. Yeah.
But yeah. I don't believe it. I don't believe he's gonna fucking.
I don't.
Flint
I mean,
water.
And what's the fucking point anyway?
Exactly.
I mean, like if you were gonna die, you wouldn't fucking drink the water. I mean, you know it's safe. I mean, it's not like he doesn't know that it's safe, but it's like you're not fooling anybody.
Oh, dude, I'm sure he's had a team of fucking scientists.
Why not just say, I'm going to drink the water for the rest of my life? Why's it got to end in 30 days?
No,
like, if it's safe, then just drink it forever.
He should come live with me and my wife
there you
and
go.
My,
that's what
my little brown children and see what life is like at our fucking house.
Well,
that's a hell of a show.
That's a reality show.
That. I would watch the hell of it. Brian, though, is Flint to the bone. You were Flint before it was cool.
When was that?
I don't know. Did you? Maybe you booked me in this. I remember doing a gig at a trailer park in Flint.
Shut up.
It was in a bar.
Not me.
Wasn't you?
A trailer park
yeah.
in Flint?
It was. There was a bar attached to the like at the front of the trailer park. You know, they had like the office, and then there was a bar.
Was it in Flint?
It was in Flint,
no.
or maybe just outside of Flint.
It wasn't the rec room community center.
I did it with the late great Mark Still.
Oh yeah.
Who brought his own darts? Mark had his own darts.
Let's play darts. Yes, let's play darts, Corey.
He brought darts everywhere, and then when they started putting in the electronic darts, it fucked him up.
Oh, fuck
he didn't. He didn't like that at all.
He's the only brother I knew with his own fucking darts.
Yeah. He's the only guy I knew ever.
I know,
had
right?
His own darts.
Pool cues, maybe, but
right.
fucking
no. I got my
darts.
Own custom darts. and we were like in this trailer park in Flint, going, "How do we get out of this?"
Oh,
and then like
shit.
There were two people in the bar. And we were like, well, we'll just go. And they're like, nope, doing a show. Because the bartender's girlfriend wanted a comedy show. So
oh,
we ended
wow.
up
well, when you find out who books that, let me know. I need some fucking work. I got to get a car.
Oh, man.
Well,
is there anything we can plug, Brian? Anything?
I'm just touring, man. Doing some casinos this coming weekend. Holly Hotel's coming up in May.
The casino gigs, man. They,
yeah,
you got to hit those now because the summertime,
yeah.
they start getting dicier.
Do they?
Well, up north they do.
I guess, yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, I remember doing one up north, and they said, well, we got a sparse crowd tonight because the smelt are running.
Actually, this time it'll be the...
And I said, where are they running to?
There's no show because the black guy is running. Better than the smell.
You're like, no, you're doing Milwaukee. You're all over the place, right?
Yeah.
Putting more miles on that car.
I know, and that's a car I need to trade in. Yeah, Milwaukee and Harris this weekend.
Yeah, Harris was... that's the one near Sault Ste. Marie, though, right?
That, yeah.
That's not the Escanaba
that was,
one.
No, that was where the smell
no,
was
running. No, it's closer to Escanaba.
Is it really? Okay, yeah. Because we would do that...
All right.
The one that was in the middle of the room.
Who's been doing comedy longer? You or Billy Ray?
Yeah, Billy Ray or Brian McCree.
81.
81?
Yeah, he's got me by
yeah, wow.
87, man. 87, he's got me by 6 years.
I didn't get to the Detroit
scene. You
were
a mere child.
21.
Yeah, see, I was 30 when I started.
Oh, okay.
That's
yeah.
the difference. Because you and I are about the same age, aren't we?
I'll be 56 at the 30th.
Oh, no. I'm older than you. Okay. I just turned 59.
So. Oh, okay. We're not that far apart.
No, we're not that far apart. We're both creaking. And we're both making noises.
Oh,
and
somebody got another blended drink.
Yeah, that's fine. It happens.
Hadn't heard anything back from you. Did for a while.
Yeah. Well, oh, sure. Yeah, that's a bummer.
Billy, have you gone on yet? Are you?
No, I just came in.
Oh, you're just hanging out? There's 400 comics here tonight, and Billy just came to hang out.
And by the way, thanks, Corey, for trying to help with that venture.
Hey, man.
It was just a shame. Yeah. That damn guy.
Bracelets. You're falling wounded.
I got one.
I'm way ahead of you. Way ahead of you.
Thanks, sir.
Corey was late. He was being a diva.
You.
He came.
Corey has to make an entrance every time he comes.
Yeah,
in.
I'll rock it.
All right, I gotta monitor the time because I still haven't gone up yet.
You know,
I'm bringing up McCree.
Okay,
I'm after Sal and before McCree. What are my odds?
This is an amazing. This is like being the last guy in line at the gangbang. You know what I mean? You want to be number 42 on the list.
You can, yeah, it's better.
This is a real comedy bukkake situation.
Well, it's all right. We'll
the
be,
audience
I'll,
is tired.
You know,
they're sweating. They're covered in fluids.
I just feel like they get tired.
Yeah,
and. you know, the, just the bringing the guys on and off is sort of exhausting.
It is.
You know, it's like, oh, it's another fucking guy.
But it's a good opportunity. Like I said, I haven't seen Brian in a long time.
No.
So it's a good time to see all the guys,
Jeff,
you know.
Brandon's in here somewhere. I don't know where Brandon went. He went to smoke pot or something,
Jeff's,
I guess.
Here?
Yeah, Brandon's here somewhere.
Oh, yeah, Brandon's here. Brandon's here. There's a distinct possibility he may be smoking weed. It is.
Brian McCree's about to go find him.
Yeah, the question is,
why aren't I with him? Well, we're at a point in time where if he keeps that token long enough, it will be 420.
Yeah, so, well, oh, that's right. Yeah, we're almost
we're
there.
Close.
We are
close.
Damn close.
Will the show end before 4:20? I guess that's the
right. Hey, that's,
you got a free hand, brother?
Oh, look at that. A whole flat. Look at that.
Somewhere, Joel.
I've been given a certificate for my participation.
On your wall.
Thank you very much, Bob. That's amazing.
Very welcome.
Look at that.
Appreciate you guys doing all this.
There you go.
Raised some serious cash tonight.
That's amazing. Thank you. And you got my name spelled right and everything?
Goddamn right.
I had to correct them on Channel 20 yesterday. They had my name wrong.
My man hands you a framed plaque and you're busting his ingots about your name.
Well, no, but I'm no, I'm just saying it's, you know.
That's all right. He's talking about other people fucking
yeah,
up.
Yeah, the TV stage fucked up. I had to correct them, and they got it right.
Hey, I've got a BRIAN plaque on my wall. It's not right, but it's hanging on my wall.
Is that right? There was yours right. There you go.
Tell me this story.
Okay, I've been doing this nutty shit for like 12 or 13 years.
Uh-huh.
This Billy Ray Bauer I'm talking to, by the way. My neighbor and I lived in Novi, and he and I were talking. It was a, you know, your typical idiot backyard barbecue, right? Half drunk. He says, "You ought to do comedy." I said, "Yeah, I've been thinking about that." He says, "You know, let's go to this open mic at Joey's." I said, "Okay, I've never been there. Let's check this out." So this is what 2004, 2003, something like that. Okay, so went to this open mic with him, and we made a bet as to who was going to be first to get on stage to do this. Well, he punked out. And I went on stage.
And now you're stuck doing comedy.
The very first professional live show I saw was you.
Really?
And it was at Joey's, and you crushed. You obliterated the place.
Was this the old, back in the old location or the new one?
It was this in the new one.
The new one with the blue
and
roof.
You blew it away. And
it was a fun room.
So yeah, it was a fun room. And so that was the first. That was really the first live professional comedy show I'd ever seen. So. I just wanted to tell you, you killed it.
Thank you,
yeah,
man.
You're welcome.
That's awfully kind of it. You know what?
That's true.
Here's the funny part about that story. You could take and change the names, because for me, the first guy that blew me away when I started doing comedy, a Detroit-based comic, is over in that room right now, Jeff Brannon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Jeff.
And I got to work. They put me with Jeff Brannon. Fantastic. At a place that used to be a Joey's on the one in Allen Park. That became Richie's.
Now, how many Joeys were there? There were three, right?
Dearborn?
Were
more Joeys in Detroit than there is in Australia.
Oh, okay.
Which is remarkable. No, the point is, let me think. Joeys, there was, I think, four or five at one point.
Wow.
Chaplin's is the one that had the most. Chaplin's had Chaplin's East, Grosbeck and Frazier. Chaplin's West, Six and Telegraph. Then you had a Chaplin's at Canton at a softball city where there was two audiences.
Right.
A V-shaped room.
Yeah.
There were people on one side of the audience that couldn't see people on the other side of the audience.
Well, it's a tremendous setup. That
a
sounds
tremendous
like,
setup.
Sounds like
then there was a Chaplin's.
Set up to win.
There was a Chaplin's at the Ramada, what was then the Ramada Inn in Plymouth. Then there was also a Chaplin's for a very short time in Chicago. And there was one in Windsor, Ontario for a short time.
I had no idea that their reach extended to Chicago.
Well, their reach extended in the same way. Remember Highland Appliance?
Yeah, right.
Once the Suns took it over? Well, that's kind of
Anytime
Chaplin's.
There was an abandoned building, Highland Appliance took it over.
But
the thing, you were doing it in the middle of the comedy boom.
Yeah.
When there was an explosion of clubs everywhere.
I could work as an opening act Tuesday through Sunday. One of the first gigs I got paid to do was at a place called Puzzles, which was across from the GM Tech Center on Van Dyke.
Mm-hmm.
Headliner, Tim Allen.
Wow.
Yeah. And Tim, I watched Tim Allen destroy this place, and I saw something that Tim did that I do too, and that is at the end of it, it's like you're a preacher, and the parishioners are coming out, and you're shaking hands with people when they come out. Because you genuinely want to make eye contact with all those people, because that way they feel like they have a connection
mm-hmm.
to you.
Yeah.
And that was what Tim did, and I always do that, and I think that's a really smart thing. And I know there are,
right.
there are people to this day who are touched by that.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, now maybe you have more knowledge of this. The rumor is that Jeff Foxworthy started the You Might Be a Redneck bit at Chaplin's.
I got to relieve Marty.
It is about Chaplin. It isn't just a rumor.
He's a busy man.
Well,
go.
I know. Marty's
got some time back.
Go get him. Go get him.
How are you, buddy?
So that did happen. Russ, don't go.
It wasn't just...
Listen, it isn't just a rumor.
I go over my time.
Sure.
It isn't a rumor at all. The fact is that Jeff Foxworthy was guesting on Jay Leno in The Tonight Show. And Jay, you know, asked him, you know, about gigs and tough gigs, being they both worked the road, you know.
Yeah.
And Jeff goes,
this was the late 80s, 88 or something?
I would say, somewhere around between 88 and 90, somewhere in there probably.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'll tell you a story about this place I did in Metro Detroit. And he went on to explain, it's a bowling alley and it's a comedy club and they have valet parking. He goes, and that's when he said, you might be a redneck if your comedy club has valet parking and a bowling alley. He goes, I got yelled at by the owner, which at the time was Buzz Hargis, the father of Billy and Bobby Hargis.
Yeah.
Buzz yelled at him, told him, you ain't going to perform in my comedy club, because he goes, I had caught a late flight in from Atlanta and I was wearing some jeans that had rips in them. And he goes, you ain't working in my fucking club dressed like that. And that's the story that he told to Jay Leno. And it was really the beginning of the whole you might be a redneck idea, with the notion that here's a comedy club. And it's funny because he didn't mention it was Chaplin's, of course. He had some discretion there. But everyone that I knew, we all knew who he was talking about.
Yeah, well... You know, people don't realize that Metro Detroit has a lot of Southern transplants.
And because of the auto industry.
Because a lot of people come up from Tennessee and Kentucky and stuff.
Absolutely. There was a huge influx of people in the 40s and 50s, post-World War II.
So there totally is a redneck vibe in some parts of...
In Metro Detroit. Well, Taylor.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody talks about Taylor. And then that area just south of Flint, Burton, is also a haven for those who would... rather dwell in a home with wheels.
we're this far north, but it is still a little countrified.
It does have its moments.
Now Detroit had 12, 15 rooms you could work.
More
than that. At some, you know, maybe 20 at the height of it.
It was so good that for me being I was unusual in the fact that I started late. I was 30.
Yeah.
And I already was married and had two children. I'd been married for almost 10 years. So I couldn't go dashing off and doing some of the shit that some of these young guys were doing.
Right. But you could work.
The Detroit area offered
you
me.
You could do 20 weeks at home without breaking sweat.
Easy.
Easy.
It was awesome in those days because this comedy scene was so good. And then you got the chance as an opening act to work with people that... You know, were your heroes, Richard Jenny and Gilbert Gottfried. I got to work with, and the Smothers Brothers, and Drew Carey, and of course Dave Coulier locally worked with him. Turns out we played hockey in the same league, but there's a year difference, and I still wonder if I ever played against him.
Wow!
You know, you wore helmets, and so you may not have recognized somebody.
What was it like opening for the Smothers Brothers?
Was at the Fisher Theater. It was very, very cool. It was a gig that I got through Mark Ridley, and it was for the Forgotten Harvest, which was Tim Allen started that benefit. And these guys, I watched them perform, and you realize as brothers, the timing is incredible. That they are, you know, you watched them on TV, and you didn't really get the message, but when you watched it live, and you saw just how tight everything was and how good they were, I had a blast. That was one of my favorite times.
Cheating having your brother in the act.
You have that
instant, you know, chemistry built in. But,
there you go. There aren't many of those now, particularly today. There's only one I can think of. Those two brothers.
The Sklar Brothers.
The Sklar Brothers, exactly.
Well, there aren't any duo acts, really.
There isn't. And I you know what I think? And when I started, there were some duo acts.
Yeah.
There was Malone and New Cheese, who were awesome. I worked with them many times.
Yeah.
A lot of people would remember them. DC Malone is still out there on his own performing. Then it was O'Brien and Valdez.
Mm-hmm.
And O'Brien, I believe it was O'Brien, that was blind.
So their shtick was they had a straight guy and the blind guy, and it was funny as it was great.
I worked with a blind guy once in central Ohio somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
You know, somewhere like just a little bit northeast of Columbus. And I remember thinking, I thought my gig was bad, but somebody had to drive this guy to this gig. There was somebody.
You had to be taken to this.
I didn't want to go to this dump. But there's a guy that had to drive the blind man.
Yeah, but think of it this way. Maybe his driver lies to him. Oh, man.
Dude, have you been on the show?
I have.
Did Joel interview you?
Joel interviewed me.
You got you already? All right. All right, we're done with Dave Bell. We've had enough of
him. The hell with him.
That's good. Oh, man.
That'd be funny, though, a blind comic, and every gig the driver says, oh, you're not going to believe this place. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. There's 1,500 seats.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Of course, and of course, every blind comic can use this opener. He started with his back to the crowd.
Well, there,
that was his opener.
Well, of course. That's so obvious.
Good evening, everybody. And he had it facing the wall.
Well, you know me. I'm follically challenged. And there was a point where I used to come out on stage with a comb in my hand, and I'd say, you know, I just did a benefit for service people who have lost limbs in the war. I said, and the really bizarre thing is they showed a video about these war veterans with lost limbs who had what they called phantom limb syndrome,
right,
where they have feelings in the limb they've lost. I said, that freaks me out. I don't know anything about that. Just freaks me out. And then, without saying another word, I run the comb through my non-existent hair, and I go, I just don't get that. I just don't get that.
I know the feeling all too well. Thanks, Billy. Appreciate
it, welcome, man.
Thank you.
I'm going to go peek in and see what's going
on. Yahoo, is that asshole? Sal D'Amelio's on stage. Let's listen.
Instagram that your coke dealer lived right next door to you. That got way too much of a laugh in here. This guy especially. Browser was a guy with one eyebrow. YouTube was a condom. And hard drive, fellas, do I need to say any more about those two words with the YouTube on, huh? But are we all just a bunch of floppy disks? What's going on? You guys have been a lot of fun. My name is Sal D'Amelio. Thank you guys so very much. Love being on this show. Thank you for showing up. Your next comedian, very, very funny comedian. I've known this guy for a long time. You might have seen him on Channel 20 as he did a spot on there to promote this show, which was really cool. He's got his own radio podcast called Joel Radio that he's doing some live stuff tonight. Welcome to the stage, Mr. Joel Fragomelli!
How you doing, everybody? Good to be back in Detroit. Royal Oak, whatever. We call it Detroit, right? When you go out of town, even if you live in the suburbs, you say you're from Detroit, right? I say I'm from Detroit. Do that. People make fun of where you're from when you tell them you're from Detroit, right? Yeah. It's a true story. I was doing comedy in Cleveland, Ohio. You guys know Cleveland?
Yeah.
It's a complete piece of shit. Can we all agree right now that Cleveland sucks, right? So I go to Cleveland, I say I'm from Detroit, and a guy comes up to me after the show. He said, how could you live in Detroit? It sucks there. It's like Beirut. That's what he told me. How could you live in Detroit? It's like Beirut. And I tried to defend my city. I said, sir, Detroit is not like Beirut at all, okay? Dearborn, Michigan. That's like Beirut right there. That's what I told him. Exactly like Beirut. No. You're groaning. Is anyone from Dearborn here tonight? All right, don't throw a shoe at me. These are just jokes, okay? People, sorry. I've had to duck a few in my career, but it's all right. It's all right. Because I live in the suburbs, like I said. I tell people I'm from Detroit. I live in Ferndale. You guys know Ferndale? Make your jokes now. Make your jokes now. This lady's right on it, right? The gay jokes right away. You say you're from Ferndale, everyone thinks. And that's fine, because Ferndale's gay-friendly. We have a gay mayor. There's a bunch of gay events. I myself am not gay just because I live in Ferndale. That's not why I moved there, okay? But I figure now that I live there, if I ever wanted to suck a dick, though, it'd be real convenient. I do think of that. And the schools are nice. That's two good reasons to live in Ferndale. Thank you. Because I'm not gay. I'm trying to get laid. I'm trying to get laid. I'm trying. It's hard meeting women. Maybe it's good to not have a girlfriend, not be in a relationship. That's what I'm thinking now. No relationship's good. Because I don't have to buy shit. That's what I'm happy about right there. When you're not in a relationship, when you're single, yeah. Birthdays, Valentine's Day, nothing. Don't have to buy anything. But I learned this, I think this is true. I think if you're in a relationship, I think the best gifts to give, though, are not the ones that cost a lot of money, but they're the ones that you make yourself. I think those mean the most. One guy's applauding. The rest of these women are like, bullshit, Joel. Look at the gold diggers we have up here now. But I'll tell you, ladies, it's true, it's true. I'll tell you how I learned this. 2 years ago, true story, I was dating a Japanese girl, and for Valentine's Day, she made me a radio. And I gotta tell you what, guys, it was the greatest gift I ever got. I'm not gonna beat that with a box of chocolates, no fucking way out of here. Because I'm dating. Dated a lot of weird girls, dated a girl who was half Irish and half German. And all she wanted to do was get drunk and invade Poland every night. That was terrible. I was at the bar last week. I saw a nice-looking Hawaiian girl. As I walked up to her, she said, aloha. I said, hello to you too, honey. She said, fuck you. I was saying goodbye. And went out with a vegetarian girl. Guys, let me warn you, don't date the vegetarian girls, all right? These girls are hard-headed. Yeah, I spent 6 weeks trying to get a little meat into this girl. And it was just a little bit, though. It was about that much. I'm not going to lie. That's about it right there. That's it. I shouldn't even have said that about my penis. I don't know why I said it. Are there 200 people staring at my penis right now? I'm feeling something. Is that what's happening? I say that, you can tell right away, you know, I have to stare. I say that because I have small hands. That's what I meant by that. I have small hands. And it's true, I have small hands, and it's all true, ladies. I'm not going to lie about it. It's embarrassing. I actually dated a girl with bigger hands than me once. Yeah. I met her in Ferndale. It was terrible. It was, I have a small penis. I was reading in Maxim magazine, they had an article about penis size. Turns out my penis is actually a 25% smaller than the average. Yeah. Yeah, it's really affected me now, too. Every time I write the word dick, I just spell it D-I-C. So. I'm a lousy lover. I guess I'll admit that, too, before I go, I'm a lousy lover. Here's a true story about my dating life. Last girlfriend I had, she said to me one night, she said, Joel, I want you to make me come 4 times tonight. That's what she said, 4 times, right? And I said, well, 4 times, that's kind of a lot, you know, for me, right? So she said, why don't you use the aid of electronic devices? So I picked up the phone and called 3 friends. And it still didn't work, folks, but I tried. I want to thank her for coming out tonight. Thank you so much, honey. Those are all about you, baby, and I've got you to thank for the act, yes, and you've commemorated it in a tattoo. I like that. Thank you so much. All right, guys, let's keep the show moving right along with this next guy. You guys are going to love your next guy. This guy has been seen on Comics Unleashed. He's been seen on Comedy Central. He is the pride of Flint, Michigan. Give it up for Brian McCree, everybody. Brian McCree.
You guys are going great. Now we get to look at Tracy Chapman. Hey, people whispering, I didn't know that bitch was doing stand-up. She looks good, though. She looks good.
What's Predator doing on the stage?
You still taping?
I'm still taping.
Did you get any of that?
I got your whole set.
Oh, well, fucking A.
It's been memorialized for all time.
Let's talk about it. Yeah. We'll talk about it there.
Just so left, put my white friends know these are dreadlocks. These
great
are not braids.
No, thank you. It's really good.
Now I just have to explain that because invariably after the show. So.
Yes. How was it? It was all right, right?
Okay, good.
I had a couple drinks, man. I'll be honest with you. I fucked up one of the jokes. I don't even want to know.
These people are really inebriated at this point. They are very...
So lit right now.
There are people
so bombed
out of their fucking skulls.
I think I found my audience. I think from here on out,
It's just going to be VFW Hall.
Wow, look at this.
And, oh, Jesus, Jason Bensi's here.
Jason Bensi.
Who invited this guy? What's up, Jason? How's it going, buddy?
Doing well.
Good to see you, man.
Hey, how you doing?
This is such a shindig that guys who aren't even on this bill are showing up.
Bunches of them.
That's right. Yes.
Look at this.
Jason Bensi here.
We're doing Joel Radio, my podcast.
Okay.
Are you okay being on that?
Or absolutely.
It used to be the Corey and Joel Radio show. Well, we don't want to go there. Let's not.
There we go.
Corey and Joel K.
I wanted a smaller footprint for the feds.
All right.
And
now, Jason, how's the Jeep going? That's my first question. Jason. Is it out here?
Yeah, it's here.
Jason has the most ridiculous.
By the way, I haven't seen Jason in about a year, and it's like three times as much facial hair as the last time I saw him.
Absolutely. Spokesman for Rogaine.
Yeah, man.
No, you got to see the Jeep that this guy bought.
No, wait, you were out in Colorado for a while?
I'm still there.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 weeks there, 2 weeks here every month.
That's a tough schedule to pull.
That's a haul,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, but you get used to it, you know?
Okay.
You absorb it, and then you move on.
And that works with your job and everything, the whole...
very conducive.
Tell everybody where you work, because people will hear this, and maybe they'll want to come see you.
I work at Chroma Tattoo during the day, and I'm on the road.
And at night. You're out hunting the Taliban.
He's the night stalker.
I hunt things that go bump in the night.
Yes. He's protecting our borders.
You do look. You look very much like a seal that's undercover.
Well, he looks like Blackwater.
Right. Right.
He looks like a private.
You look like a private
military.
You're one of those spec ops guys that's been in there too long.
Right. Yep.
On your fifth
kicked
tour.
On too many doors. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh man.
Well, Jason, really, if you're gonna book a show for the military, you really got to book Jason Bensi.
You got to book that guy.
From here on out,
Jason invented giving out for the troops. Yes.
Jason wrote that bit. Yeah, anyone who gives it up for the troops,
I get a nickel. I get a nickel. How you doing? Doing well.
Have we talked to Jeff?
So I don't know. I've never been on your show. Ever.
Jeff Dwoskin, everybody on the program.
Why start now?
Yeah, let's. Why fuck up a good thing?
Jeff Dwoskin, tell everybody what's going on with you. Come on, absurd comedy. Get some plugs in. Let's go.
Hey, what's going on? Hashtag Roundup.
Jeff is like a Twitter empresario.
Yep.
He really has used the format to.
Can you make any money doing that? I mean, I know some people do. Are you getting there? Are you close? Where are you on that?
It's a dream. Hopefully, I'll be able to figure something out.
How many followers do you have?
Just almost 41,000.
That's fucking great. That's very impressive. Because I don't, but Upchuck the Clown has just over 10,000.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty good. 10,000.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But Upchuck's a big star.
Yeah, he's
a. Upchuck's a big star. Upchuck should have more. But the fact you have 40, I will defer to you on that.
That's a good number.
Yeah. Awesome.
Now, what's the secret to Twitter success? Is it hashtag games? Is that...
Hashtag games are good, but watching the trends is what's key.
The trends.
Well, Jeff's got his wife tweeting now.
Oh.
His wife's, like, retweeting everybody. And like
she tweets, too, though. She's become her own.
She's got her own stuff.
She's got her own thing now.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's roped. That's a,
how long till the kids start tweeting?
Yeah, exactly.
They come up with some, but... Well, you know, you don't have to... Wait, when you watch the trends, you see that's what's going to be popular.
Yeah.
So if you trend in this... If you tweet something and use the phrasing of a trend, whether it be a hashtag... Like Donald Trump was talking about 7-Eleven today.
Yes.
Right? He said 7-Eleven, so 7-Eleven was trending. So if you tweet something with 7-Eleven, you're going to go beyond the 10,000 followers that you have or whatever.
Yeah, because people will read.
Because people are searching on that.
For me, the coolest stuff about Twitter is like a couple weeks ago, Marin responded directly to a tweet I sent out. So, you know, and I get like Gilbert Gottfried's podcast.
Yeah, Gilbert will retweet you.
They retweeted me.
I had Sharknado follow me.
So to me, people go, well, why get on Twitter? What's the point? Well, once in a while, if you tweet at someone, you know, you're a fan of or someone, they might just answer you back. They might respond. So,
yeah, Dairy Queen, I was with my daughter, so they responded.
Dairy Queen.
But it's also a great way to get exposure as a comic. Like, my tweets have been read on MSNBC. I've been in
CNN. I know I've seen
every major publication. You know, it was in New York Times. But it's like, it's the type of exposure you can't get if you just post on Facebook.
Oh. Right. So. I've been doing it wrong all along.
No, well, you are. The problem is, for me, I have a smaller number of people on Twitter than I do on Facebook, but you're open to everybody on Twitter.
Well, Facebook is your friends, and Twitter is... Yeah. Your fans, I guess. That's what I say, Upchuck the Clown. It's like, I don't fucking know those people, but they know me, and so they follow me because
sure.
The way Twitter is, it's like they tell people every day, follow Upchuck, because he is Upchuck is followed by Insane Clown Posse and Twisted and all of those acts in that world, you know.
All the big shooters.
Well, in that world. Right, I mean, there's more than 10,000 of those, believe it or not, Corey. And believe me, they're multiplying. There'll be more of them than us soon. So
if you tweeted more from it, I don't know how much you tweet.
I don't.
You would get more.
Well, I do sometimes.
I heard there are more 28-year-old grandmothers in ICP than in any other demographic.
You might be right on that one. I don't know. But, so tell everybody where to follow you, man. Did you already say it or not?
Big Macher, B-I-G-M-A-C-H-E-R.
Big Macher.
Big Macher.
Is that a Jewish thing?
It's Yiddish.
How is Jeff Dwoskin still talking?
Thanks, guys. Big Macher.
Thanks, guys.
He's getting squeamish about Joel Radio.
All right, well...
You're going to hide being Jewish now after all this time?
No, I'm saying it's Yiddish. It's Yiddish.
We might have to wrap this up because there's pizza now.
There is pizza.
And any professional comedian knows to strike while the pizza is
actually,
there.
Comedians are drawn two things, open microphones and pizza. And right now the open microphone is losing out. So.
All right.
But why don't we come back after the show? Because the show's almost over. And we'll have a little wrap-up with the fans. Maybe we'll say hi to them. But we thank you, Jeff. We love Jeff. What's up, Mike Jeter?
Man.
I ain't talked to Mike Jeter yet on Joel Radio, have we?
Dude, I actually thought that was a taser. That's why I was and Corey's by on the wall like this. I'm like, who the fuck is he fucking
with? You're the third guy that said that.
Yeah, it looks like a, well, you know.
Yeah, like a black guy. You're a black guy. Brian McCree didn't say that.
Well, what the hell is this?
It's a field recorder.
Wow.
It's a multi-track, so this is a mic and that's a mic.
Oh,
and
smart,
I'm talking to you on a mic.
Oh, cool, man.
See, then we're doing it.
No, I don't have to look at it. That's why
you don't have to look at it.
Okay, I'll try to be natural.
Nothing to look at here. It's a lot like me. Nothing to look at. It's,
hey, man.
The under is looking okay.
The under is looking good.
Except McPeak's on stage.
Yeah, McPeak's. So he says he's going to do under. The bet was would the show end by 9:50? And it's like 9:42
right now. Oh, yeah,
right
we'll clear it.
We're close.
Yeah,
we'll
clear it. We'll clear it. I have faith.
Because I will tell you from personal experience, a little inside baseball, when the show runs long here at the Comedy Castle, not a lot of happy people on the staff. Just so you know. I mean, you know.
I'm sure that's any comedy club.
When you notice, like, when you work here, I run back there at 8. I do the offstage usually. So I'm running back there. It's like 7:59, and I'm like, let's go, guys. And they're like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, let's go. I mean, you know how it is.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, so, man. That's the one thing I love about this club is that everything's scripted, and it's like to the second.
Yeah, we try to keep it running.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Because
all that started late.
But part of the thing is that if you start late, you train your people to come in late. You just go, it's an 8 o'clock show. They don't start till 8:15. It's like, no, we start at 8.
Right.
You'd be surprised. I mean, you know, because we're here, but 8 o'clock on like a Saturday night, we might have, for a sold-out show, we might have 100 empty seats.
Absolutely.
Because there's people who make dinner reservations at 7, and they don't figure that with the parking and everything, what time they get here. So if you run a comedy show, and a lot of comics listen to this, I like to give them advice, and you run comedy shows, you're putting your stuff together,
right.
You got to start on time. It's very important.
I am...
keep it on time.
I hate to start late.
Yeah.
And if I do, it's no more than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Although I have started... upwards of 15 minutes late.
Yeah, you gotta
wait for a crowd. You know,
sometimes you wait for the crowd and then at a smaller show, like an open mic or something.
But if you're an establishment like the Castle,
you gotta know,
you gotta be on the
clock. It's a professional operation. Plus you got a late show. A lot of nights you got a 10:30. So.
Yeah. Show's over.
Was the show over?
Wow, all right.
So I don't know if he's gonna call you guys back.
No, they're doing a drawing. We're not going out there. McPeak's on stage. How much room is there, really? Let's be honest. I mean, if you broke it down.
There are a lot of big bodies over here.
Yeah,
you know.
I know.
And see, I've always learned, being from a family of big people, let others go out first. So you can live to tell the tale.
I'm gonna propose this to Bill, Bob, that put this together tonight, Bob Phillips. I'm gonna propose this. Tell me if you're on board, guys. I think we do next year, same lineup, and we all weigh in. We weigh in now. We weigh in next year. And whoever loses the most weight gets an extra minute. What do you think?
I think this is a great event. We're doing something good, but there's a little cruelty to it because they put the pizza out while McPeak was on stage.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, that's very unfair.
Somebody should deliver him a slice right now.
I'm not saying.
I'll give you $5 for it. Go give him a slice.
It's bad on fat crime. I'm good. I don't have a meeting without me.
Yeah, Dave Bell. Let's talk about black comedians. Dave Bell, get in here. We're going to have a round table here.
It's actually illegal.
Wait, we finally had our Black History Month round table.
At the end of April.
What the hell is this?
At the end of April.
Well, that's all right.
But you know what I tell the kids? I'm not a black comedian. I'm a comedian.
You're a comedian, exactly.
Not a black one.
You don't have a... Well, I mean, let me say, like, some people have a black... Some people tailor their show to a black audience, and then they become that. And even white guys. There's white guys only want to work black clubs. And
we
then
know them.
And then there's black... Well, then there's black... But see, you're neither. Because there are black guys that only want to work, like, Comedy Castle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a guy here... oh, boy, how do I say this? And he's a friend. I don't want to say his name, but you guys will know. Well, the guy's a police officer.
Okay.
And he's a black comedian. And he did a show here.
Listen here.
No, wait.
How many black comedian police officers do we have?
But we did a show. We do a show here once a month with Mike Bonner. We all know Mike Bonner. Hilarious guy.
Right.
And it's called Uptown Friday Night. It's an urban showcase.
Okay.
It's the last Friday of the month. Right. So they booked this black police officer.
Why is it the last Friday of the month?
Well, you know, I don't know. I said,
a little late to other Fridays.
Yeah, maybe. It's black. They probably move it.
So he goes,
oh, shit.
So the black police officer comic is booked on Uptown Friday Night.
Oh, damn.
And he's actually the headliner that weekend. Right. So he headlines the show, 30 minutes of cop material out of an hour or whatever. Like, lots of cop stuff, right?
Yeah.
Then he does the Uptown Friday Night. How many cop mentions do you think he did in front of the black audience?
None,
exactly. It was hilarious. He was like, I'm not telling them. I'm
like, yeah, so when I'm selling crack.
Right,
like,
wait a minute. So.
This is like the most incredible collection of African-American talent and Steve Lynn.
Steve Lynn can't believe there's three black guys. He's never been around this many. Don't you live in Ortonville or something, Davison? Where do you live?
I'm glad.
My stage name is Token.
We got the single whitest guy here.
The whitest guy in the room.
I'll tell you what, if we're up by 42 in the fourth quarter, I'm getting some playing time. That's all I'm saying.
Right, we need to do foul shots. Steve, get in here. Somebody.
But that's what I love about Steve Lynn. I can always anticipate a nice, funny racial joke from him.
Not an uncomfortable one. Just
a nice, funny one. Right. Nice, funny. I like that.
Usually around my time.
Well,
I feel more comfortable. Yes.
The event is over. We're wrapping up here. The audience is going to get loud with the audience coming out here in a second.
Thank you.
Maybe
I enjoyed myself.
Thank you.
All right,
thanks, bro. Right now, he's military too.
Oh, okay. That's your buddy.
All right.
You know what? He still looks the same.
Mitch, get over. Good night, guys. Thanks for coming, guys. Mitch, come over here, Mitch. Mitch Bessett is here. He's one of my comedy students in the advanced comedy class.
Nice.
He came out. I told you guys to watch the show because there was a lot of experienced guys here, a lot of bookers. What'd you see tonight? What'd you like?
I saw all the great local comedians, and I had a great time because I know, like, half of them. And, you know, it's great, great comedy scene.
Yeah, it was a really good show. I had a nice set, and I was worried that I wouldn't.
Oh, you did great, Joe.
Thank you, Mitch. Thank you. Glad you could see me with a full house. The other students saw me at the New Way Bar last night eating shit in front of like eight people. So I'm glad you could see me in a decent room.
I heard
tonight.
That was bad last night, but...
It's bad, but it's always bad. It's always bad. So anyway. Oh, Kathy's here too. Hi, Kathy. I'm talking on my podcast to Mitch, who's one of my... Come here. No. Kathy Ryan was also one of my students.
It was a great show.
Thank you, Kathy.
Great fun.
Kathy is one of my... I don't want to say best students because you can't have favorites. But Kathy, how much time did we spend last Saturday talking about Kathy last Wednesday on Saturday?
At least two-thirds of the class.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Well, let's not push it. But we did talk about how funny you were.
Well, thank you.
And the fact that Damaged Goods hit on your granddaughter, I thought was funny.
she loved it.
Kathy's granddaughter sat in the first row, and the black guy I'm teaching just hit on her the whole time. It was amazing.
She had
fun.
They had a great time. I was a little concerned that they understood so many of those jokes.
Yeah, they did. But you were great, Kathy. Thank you.
Well, it's under your tutelage.
I try, but I didn't teach you very much. You were good when you got in. Thank you, Kathy. We'll see you soon, Kathy. All right, Mitch. Thanks for talking to me, buddy.
Thank you very much.
What's your plans going forward with comedy? Tell us.
My plans are just to write a lot and get on stage as much as I can and try to make people laugh.
But we will. We'll update you in the future, hopefully. I'm Mitch, the comedy class, all things comedy. It's getting so loud in here, I might have to stop talking for a minute.
Not to mention, my comedy name is Mitch Ryan.
Oh, he's Mitch Ryan. Well, that's part of being a comedian, is changing your name.
Exactly.
We have a guy named Dave Landau, who's not the famous Dave Landau.
What a funny
I'm trying
name.
To get him to change his name. Talk to David. To get him to change his name.
I'll talk to David.
Thank you. All right, thanks, Mitch.
Have a great night.
All right. All right, we're going to say goodnight. Did you at Joel Radio? We've got to wrap it up. I mean, how many comics can you fit in one room? That was. What's the answer to that question, Corey?
I would not recommend that again.
Well, I hope people had fun listening anyway. I didn't hear the stuff that you recorded. Were there any surprises for me?
Well,
it was my set.
Well, you'll hear it. Yeah.
I'll hear it. I heard Corey going, that sucked.
No.
Nobody's laughing.
No, I did not. No,
that one was terrible.
It might sound like they're laughing,
but it's like one guy.
No, I didn't do that, which is the surprise.
Oh!
See? Yeah. You would expect that. Well, I hope it's some kind of listening experience.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like, but it's like you lived it. You were part of the show now.
Sure.
If you were here.
And
you weren't here.
A lot of these guys have been on our show before.
Yeah, some of them have.
In the old show, they've been on recently. So,
sure.
So, and then there's people like Jeff Dwoskin, who we've known for a million years, who haven't been on the show.
Brian McCree, Mike Jeter,
so,
Steve Lin.
If it's too inside for you, whatever.
Well, I think it's a little slice of what stand-up is like. And we don't do a lot of shows like this. Usually you're by yourself or with two other assholes.
It's extremely rare to have that many comics in one place.
Exactly.
So. You don't have that happen. Yeah. So we thought it'd be fun. And
a warts and all look at a comedy benefit today here on Joel Radio.
Yes.
Let's thank Bob Phillips once again for putting together this benefit.
You can also tell these are veteran comics because nobody got punched.
No, there was no fights. I don't know.
Nobody's gotten shit.
Was there no ego tonight or
no,
not?
No, I'm just saying if these guys were an average of 10 years younger,
yeah, this would have gotten ugly. Guys running over their time. Good night. Good night. But yeah, so this was a lot of fun. Bob Phillips, though, again, we'll probably put a link to the Fallen and Wounded Soldiers Fund.
There's the door slamming
on
our careers.
But no, people are still leaving the club. The Wounded and Fallen Soldiers Fund is Bob Phillips' charity. That's what we're here to support. Detroit Cares at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. So we hope you enjoy listening. Again, they'll have links to my TV appearance. I'll put a link to your TV appearance.
Okay.
Which, by the way, that's a great... We should tell that story when we're back in the studio.
Okay.
About your gig that you promoted on TV happened.
Well,
which
yeah.
is tremendous.
Maybe.
Good night. Good night, guys.
Bye.
Well, we're saying good night to people, and we're saying good night to our listeners. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Saying goodbye to the waitresses. Saying goodbye to everybody. Saying goodbye to the comedy career I could have had. Tonight was a little glimpse at what it would have been like.
Good night, Mary Ellen. Good night, John Boy. Good night, Speedy Gonzalez. Oh, Tom Green's going to be here.
Tom Green's going to be here soon. I will actually be on. You know, Tom's a guy that I know a little bit, but I can't get him on the show because I'm on vacation. Jimmy Pardo, maybe a future guest.
Bring the taser over for Jimmy.
Yeah. Pino. How many? You know, guys said this was a taser tonight. Like four guys.
Well, it shows you the originality.
Oh,
and
did we beat 950 just before we leave?
I
think we did. I think it's 10:15 now.
Underneath.
I think it was 9:47. So we did all right. All right. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening to Joel Radio. We'll catch you next time. Peace out.
L'chaim.